I want to go ahead and put that up there, Eric. I want to share with you 10 things that Dad would never say on Father's Day. Okay? Number one thing. I'm lost. Time to pull over and ask for directions. Dads would never say that. Dads would never say that. Number two. Why did you stop whining? My dad never said that. I don't recall him ever saying, why did you stop whining? Number three, Mom and I are going away for a weekend. You should think about throwing a party. Not saying that. Number four, you don't need to get a job. I have plenty of money for you. Anybody's dad ever say that to them? Not a one. Number five, don't you think that skirt is a little long? Girls, did you ever have your dad say that to you? No? Okay. When is it my turn to wash the dishes? It feels like forever. For those of you who couldn't hear that, she said, that's why you did them last night. What time did I do them? Yeah. Okay. Curfew? What curfew? Dads never say that. Number eight. Would you like to control the remote? That never happens in our house, I know that. Number nine, let's see what's on the Lifetime channel. That shouldn't even be on. Who keeps turning off the lights in all the house? Just thought I'd share 10 things that dads never say to you with you on this Father's Day. So dads, happy Father's Day. We're glad that you're here. I want to talk about men this morning. I want to talk to the men and to the ladies this morning about three things that men need to know. Three things that men need to know. We're gonna have three questions that every man asks in his life. Whether they express them or not, I'm here to tell you that these are questions that are core to men's lives, that they want to know. How many of you saw Saving Private Ryan? Great movie, but at the end of the movie, the father that had gone through World War II and came back to Normandy years later just asked his wife a question. He said, tell me I'm a good man. That's one of the things that a man wants to know, is that he's a good man, and he wants to know that he's made a difference in his life. But we're going to look at three things that men need to know in their lives. And men, you need to ask this question of yourself. You've already asked this question. I'm going to kind of reveal to the rest of your families that these are things that concern us as men. These are questions that I ask myself. At various points in my life, I've come to crisis points in my life where circumstances kind of forced me to look at these questions and to do a good, hard introspection. Now, men don't generally like to share introspection with other people. That's just not the way we're wired. But these are things that are important to us that we ask ourselves and we want to know the answer to. And number one is, am I a good husband? Am I a good husband? What does that mean to be a good husband? How can I be a better husband? That really does matter to most men. They want to know if they're a good husband. And men, if you're here this morning, that is a paramount important question that you need to have answered in your life. Because our culture does not train us to be good husbands. Our culture is very selfish. It tells us to look out for ourselves, to look out for number one, to make sure that your needs are taken care of. And it does it not just subtly, it does it overtly. It tells us that if we take care of ourselves, we'll be happy. If we put ourselves first, that'll make life satisfying. And I want you to understand something. That is a lie. You'll never find satisfaction putting yourself first. The Bible doesn't teach that in any way, shape, or form. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, 25 through 26, it says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave himself up for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. Ephesians 5:28 says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies, for a man who loves his wife actually shows love to himself. There's two things that I want to make clear. First of all, your wife should be the primary focus of your love in your family. Well, what about my kids? Your kids are going to be grown and they're going to be gone someday. And they're... I'll preach it. And you're going to have to live the rest of your life with your wife, and you need to spend your time building that relationship in a way that glorifies God and glorifies each other. So number one, and number two, you need to set that example of putting your wife first for your children to see, so that they will be good parents, good husbands, good wives in their lives also. Now in Ephesians chapter 5, we all, you know, guys, we've got this one down, because in Ephesians chapter 5, it contains that verse that every husband knows. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands in the Lord. And, you know, we secretly like that verse. That's one that we all got down. But it also says to our husbands that we should love our wives just as Christ loved the church. And frankly, I think that is the more difficult command to fulfill, to love our wives as Christ loved our church. It goes against our nature. It goes against our personalities. It goes against everything that the flesh cries out for, because we are essentially, men and women, are essentially selfish people. We want to take care of our own needs. We want to make sure that our needs are taken care of. But Jesus says that we should love our wives as Jesus loved the church. He gave His life for her. He laid down His life for her. And guys, you're living in a culture. I want to talk especially to younger men here today, because we're living in a culture that says take care of yourself. And I hear this over and over again among couples that are going through difficult times. She's not making me happy. He's not satisfying my needs. And that just kind of goes along with a culture that says make sure that all of your needs are taken care of first. That is deadly to a marriage. That is deadly to any relationship that you have. You need to reach out to each other and spend your time trying to please your wife and putting her needs first. You know, it's kind of the difference between law and grace, the Old Testament way of getting to God and the New Testament way of getting to God. Mr. Law says things like, how did you do today? What did you get accomplished today? Where's my dinner? You know, all that kind of stuff. But Mr. Grace says, I love you no matter what. I'm going to love you for the rest of my life. I'm going to care about you. And one of the things that we need to understand, guys, is it's not all about me. It's not all about my needs. It's about her needs. It's about my family's needs. And number one, am I a good husband, is a question that we all need to answer today. Are you a good husband? Are you living according to God's Word? God's Word is enough for every situation that we will face. Second question that a man wants to know is, am I a good father? I want to be a good father. I remember moments in my life where I couldn't sleep at night. There were things going on and, you know, different situations that were happening that were robbing me of my sleep. And I remember I would get up and I would walk into my boys' rooms, and I would look at them laying there sleeping. I never did stop to think what would happen if they woke up in the middle of the night and there's Dad standing there staring at them, you know, scare the life right out of them. But I used to stand there and I would say, Am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to raise them right? Am I going to be a good father? That was a big question in my life, and I'm sure that's a question that a lot of fathers have asked themselves. Am I going to be a good father? You know, the Bible talks about that in Ephesians 6:4. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way that you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and the instruction that comes from the Lord. In Colossians 3:20 and 21, it says, children, obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. There's that one side, you know, like where it says, women, obey your husbands in the Lord. There's another side to this whole thing. There's a balance to this. And it says, children, obey your parents. Always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. And that word discouraged, I think, is the key to understanding these verses. Are you an encouraging father? I met with a young man several years ago who was going through some very difficult times. And his father kept coming up in our counseling sessions. His father kept, uh, you know, popping up in conversations, it was obvious that there was some real tension there. And finally, I kind of directly addressed it. I said, "Tell me about your dad." And his face darkened, and he said, "He was a good guy, but I could never do anything right. I could never please him. I never made him happy. If I mowed the lawn, he would point out the areas that I missed, and he would say, 'You didn't do that edge right.' Or, you know, he'd never just say, 'Good job.' He'd never say, 'I'm proud of you.' He would say, 'I'm proud of you, but,' and then he'd qualify that with some kind of failure that I am. Are you an encouraging father? Do you tell your kids that they've done a good job? Are you proud of them?" I try to tell my boys every time that I can that I'm proud of them. It's just something that I learned from my dad. You know, I can probably name for you all of the times, and there are many of them, that my dad patted me on the back and said, "You're a good son. I'm proud of you. I love you." All of those things made a deep impression, much more deep impressions than any spankings that I ever got. And I got a few. I didn't deserve any of them. Well, maybe one or two. You know, my dad wasn't abusive at all or anything like that, but, you know, I got my share of spankings and discipline and that stuff, always when I needed it, always when I deserved it. But what meant more to me and the things that I remember most of all are those words of encouragement that my dad gave to me. He said, "You're doing it right. That's good. I appreciate that. Good job, son. I love you. You know, way to go." Just whatever it is, dads, I want to encourage you to be encouraging, because there's nothing like a father's praise to encourage a child, to give them self-esteem, to give them something that they can hang on to in those moments when everybody around them is telling them, "You're an idiot, you're stupid, you can't do it right, next time do it better." You know, all of those kinds of things, they can be overcome with a father that's encouraging and self-motivating. You know, the comedian Jim Gaffigan has five children. And in today's culture, that's a lot of kids. Most people don't have that many kids. And he wrote something. He said, "When I'm asked why so many children, I answer, 'Why not?' He said, 'I guess the reasons against having more children always seem uninspiring and superficial. What exactly am I missing out on? Money? A few more hours of sleep? A more peaceful meal? More hair? These are nothing compared to what I get from these five little monsters who rule my world. I believe each of my five children has made me a better man. Each one of them has been a pump of light into my shriveled black heart. I would trade money, sleep, or hair for a smile from one of my children in a heartbeat." Well, it depends on how much hair. But I really believe that Gaffigan gives us kind of an insight into the trick of raising children. And that is simply to see your children as a gift and not a burden. I need you to be careful how you talk about your kids, especially in front of them. What you say matters. If you say, "Yeah, he's really a pain in the neck," don't be surprised when your kid is a pain in the neck. If you say, "Oh, he's always in trouble," if that's the message that he hears over and over again, don't be surprised when your child is always in trouble. Use words of encouragement. See them as a blessing from God. Delight in your children as gifts. Delight in your children as gifts from God. There's plenty of you here this morning that can testify to the fact that they're gone way too soon. You turn around and blink and they're grown up and they have children of their own, and then all of a sudden you look back and you think, "Where did all the time go?" View your children as burdens. Yes, it's a challenge. I know it's a challenge. You know why it's a challenge? Because we're wired to be selfless. Sin makes us selfish. We want all of our stuff now, but we've got to start seeing our children as delightful gifts from God. And before you say, "Oh, you don't know my kids," remember you were that kid once too. They're delightful gifts from God, and we need to see them that way. And that's what makes you a good father, is how you see your kids. Are they burdens? And frankly, there is a in the generation that's coming up, I'm hearing it more and more. Oh, these kids are such a burden. They don't have to be. It's all in your attitude. It's all how you see them. It's all how you treat them. So number two, fathers, men want to be good fathers. And then finally, we want to know if we're good men. We want to know if we're good men. And, you know, that's just nature inside of us, wanting to be better than we think we are. We want to improve. You know, it says in Matthew 1:9 about Joseph, Mary's husband. It says, Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. He did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. It's the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. You all know the biblical story of how Mary was overcome by the Holy Spirit. She found herself pregnant. She told Joseph, and Joseph was stunned. I mean, you know, it's natural that he would have questions about this whole thing. And nothing like this had ever happened before. And it took God's intervention to stop Joseph in his tracks. But even in the midst of when it looked like she had been unfaithful to him, and when it looked like she had been with another man and was now carrying his child, because Joseph knew that he wasn't his child, it says he was a good man. And not wanting to disgrace her publicly, he had mind to put her away privately, to divorce her quietly and privately. He was a good man. A good man puts others before himself. Joseph, by all rights, could have had her put on trial. They were harsh on those kinds of things in those days. And no one would have thought twice about it. As a matter of fact, they probably would have thought Mary deserved it. But Joseph was a good man. A good man puts others before himself. A good man puts his wife ahead of his own needs. A good man puts his children and his family first in their life. A good man thinks of others before they think of themselves. And a good man is obedient to God. Joseph heard from God. An angel appears to Joseph and says, Hey, this is from God. Don't do it. Don't do what you're thinking about doing. This is from God. Marry her. It's going to be all right. And Joseph amazingly obeyed the angel. He obeyed God himself. A good man thinks of others before himself, and a good man obeys God. And men, I tell guys this in all of my premarital counseling sessions. I have a session alone with a guy, and I tell them, listen, if you want your wife to look up to you, be a man of God. Be a man of God. Put God first. That will make you attractive to your wife if you're a godly man. And guys, I wish every one of you would just grab a hold of you. Don't take anything else away from what you're doing here this morning. It's this. If you want to be a good man, be a man of God. Now, I didn't say be a perfect man, because we're not all perfect. And guys, I know we kind of major on our minors sometimes. We kind of focus on our failures sometimes. But be a man of God. If you fall down, get up, brush yourself off, and keep going forward. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on yourself. Don't say this is as good as I'm going to get. You'll either love me, or you'll either take me the way I am, or you'll let me go. Don't fall for that line. Be a man of God. And God will bless you for it. It's not perfection that God is looking for. It's obedience that He's looking for. Before we go this morning, I want to give you some clues on how to be a better father, because we're living in a culture where a huge chunk of people grow up without dads in their houses, and these young men are growing up, really they don't have a real good grasp on what it takes to be a good father, because they never had a good role model for that. And this is good for us to go through this stuff, but I want to talk to you about how to be a better father, a better man. And first of all is, be a man of God. Be a consistent man of God. Consistently serve God. Go to church. I know I'm talking to the choir here, because you're already in church. I realize that. I'm not stupid. But be a church-going man. Be a person of prayer. Be a man who prays with his family. Be a man who reads Scripture with his family. Be a man who exemplifies what Christ is like. I can say I have a dad like that. I am so grateful. I grew up in a household where my dad loved us, where he disciplined us, where he played with us, where he was a great father, still is a great father. But I realize that that's not real consistent in today's world. And Dad, you're going to be unique if you're one of those kinds of dads that serves God and is consistent in his relationship with God. Secondly, look for a role model. Look for somebody that's doing the job right and emulate them. Make friends with them. Ask them questions. Go ahead and pry into their life. I'm giving you permission to pry into people's lives. Especially if you're a young man, if you're not a father yet, and you know that you're going to be one day, that's your desire, that's your heart, is to have your own kids. Ask guys that are doing it right, what would you say I need to do if I'm going to be a good father? They'll tell you. They'd be happy to share their wisdom with you. They'll be happy to share their failures with you and tell you what they wouldn't do again, what they would change. But find somebody that's doing it right, emulate them, make friends with them, and ask questions with them, from them. You know, I know that that's kind of tough for guys to do because, you know, guys don't do that kind of stuff. We don't ask for directions. We don't ask for advice. But go ahead and do that. Find out what's going on in their life and notice what makes your wife, your family happy. And do it again. Find out what pleases your wife and your family. You know what makes you happy. You don't need to figure that out. Find out what makes your wife happy. Find out what makes your family happy. And do it again. Do it over and over again. Make it your goal in life to make your family the happiest family in the world. Happy families don't happen by accident. They don't. They're happening on purpose. You know, dads, I want to give you a big hand this morning because being a dad in today's culture is a difficult thing. You get so many mixed messages, so many cultural cues that you really can't get a hold on. I want to encourage you, be a man of God. Make that your goal in life, is to be a man of God. Love your wife, love your children. Pray, if you're single today, pray that God will bring that woman into your life that will complete you and make you the man of God that He wants you to be. Don't pray for a hot wife. Please. I found an article last week in a pastor's journal that says, please stop calling your wife hot on Facebook. I posted it. I got deluged. Rah, 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 rah. I mean, think about it. If you say, my wife is so hot, what am I supposed to say about that? Yeah, she is. Ooh, boy, I didn't want to say that. Or, no, she's not. Then you're in deeper water, you know. There's no good answer to that one. Don't pray for the externals. Pray for the heart. Pray for the woman that God wants you to have. Pray for a woman of God. And don't settle for anything less. Don't be fooled by the externals of this world. Pray for a woman of God that will complete you as the man of God that He wants you to be. If you're already married, pray for your wife regularly. Pray that God will continue to grow her. Pray that God will give her the wisdom to challenge you where you need to be challenged and to encourage you where you need to be encouraged. Because you cannot be that complete man of God without your wife's help. You cannot be that complete man of God without your wife's help. And I want you to be that complete man of God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today as we come before You with all of our dads, we ask that You would bless every dad that's in this place. God, I pray for every man, whether he's a dad or not, that You would just send Your Spirit upon them today. God, that they would feel Your presence in a special way. And God, may every man determine that he is going to be a man of God.